Welcome back to our limited series from In Good Faith at BYU Radio, a reading of Adam Miller's 2013 epistolary essays, Letters to a Young Mormon. I'm Stephen Cap Perry, host of the In Good Faith podcast. Each episode of this series will consist of one letter from the 14-letter collection read by writer, storyteller, songwriter, and host of BYU Radio's The Appleseed, Sam Payne. And now here's letter two, titled Work.
Dear S, I can see myself in you. It is both flattering and scary. I see how much you want to be loved, how hungry you are for acknowledgement and approval. I see how much you want to be great. Wanting love is good, and wanting to excel is good. The trouble comes from trying to tie them together. Pursue love and pursue excellence. Pursue them with abandon. But you will spoil the joy native to each if you spend your life wanting to be loved because you are great. Love is for its own sake. It only works as a gift, never as a reward. It can't be earned or bartered or insured. It is a grace, and it is freely given or not given at all. Uncouple your desire to be loved from your desire to be great. Pursue love by striving to give it rather than possess it. Coupling love and ambition fools us into approaching the whole business backwards. Rather than pursuing love by giving ourselves away, we end up trying to capture love with a new and improved version of ourselves. This sucks the freedom out of love, and it sucks the joy out of excellence. As Mormons, we are often unclear about this. We emphasize the necessity of having faith in God's perfect love, and we hammer home the necessity of getting to work and pursuing excellence. We criticize others for neglecting either the need for faith or the need for work. All the while, laboring zealously in defense of these virtues, we tend to yoke them together in a way that hobbles them both. You must trust in God's perfect love, and you must wear out your life in the pursuit of what is excellent. But if you try to secure God's love through your excellence, then no matter how excellent your work, you will fail. Your work will only become an expression of your failure to trust that God's love for you is already palpable and perfect. You can't force God to love you. Your pursuit of excellence will, ironically, hollow out your faith, and absent this trust, you will become more and more doubtful and afraid. The more desperately worthy of love you style yourself, the deader your faith in its graciousness will become. You cannot treat God's love as something to be earned at some future date, while also trusting that God already loves you perfectly right now. This strategy belies your faith. Similarly, no longer shackled by uncertainty and anxiety to your doomed project of capturing love, the joy of ambition, of excellence pursued for its own sake, begins to shine. Work that was only a grinding means to an end gets lit with meaning as an end in itself. Unencumbered by a fear of failing, secure in the perfect love passing through you, you put your shoulder to the wheel, you whistle while you work, and the work itself becomes a more perfect expression of an already perfect love. This is a lesson I'm still learning. At your age, I was painfully competitive. I was determined to prove at school, on the court, at church, with girls, that I was better than other people, that I was more worthy of love and admiration. This ambition to prove my worth was a fountain of misery. If I excelled at something, it was never enough. If I failed, I shed fearful tears. I played basketball. Here, I thought I'd gather a crowd and prove myself. I worked hard. I drilled. I shot endless free throws. I ran miles. I hit the weights. I started earlier and stayed longer. My sophomore year in high school, we won 2 of some 20 games. My junior year, we won 4. Basketball season was an exercise in public humiliation. I cried. I got frustrated. I got angry. I worked harder. I started even earlier. I stayed even longer. My senior year, we won 8 games. I never managed a winning record. But I loved basketball. On the playground on a hot summer afternoon, I was loose and fearless. I would whoop and run and smile. The chain nets sang when I sank a baseline jumper. The joy of pinning a shot to the backboard was ecstatic. On the playground, no one was watching. There was nothing to lose. But with my parents in the stands, with the school gathered on a winter night, I was a knot of inhibitions and short-armed free throws. The scoreboard would tip in the visitor's favor, and my face would burn. On midwinter nights in that high school gym, my ambition was not to play basketball. My ambition was to use basketball as a crowbar for leveraging love. And this, win or lose, is no way to play basketball. In fact, it is no way to do anything. Work, chained to its outcome, is misery. Do what you can. Do it better than you're able, and let things happen as they may. The action, not its fruit, is your business. The outcome is not your concern. If God is going to show himself to you in the work that you shoulder, he will only do so if you've stopped craving an approving audience and instead trust in his love. Your life is not a movie. It has no audience, and it reaches no climax. There is no soundtrack. There is just you and the work and the people who share the work with you. Love the work for its own sake. Perfect love casteth out fear. 1 John 4:18. Fearless in love, set ambition free. Love, A.
Letters to a Young Mormon, a limited series podcast, is produced by Heather Bigley. Our editor is Josh Orton. Our post-production sound designers are Mark Hansen, Brandon Lewis, Daniel Phillips, and Carly Wilson. The text for this limited series is taken from the second edition of the book, published in 2018 by Deseret Book. Adam S. Miller retains the copyright. This podcast is a production of BYU Radio. I'm your host, Stephen Cap Perry. If interfaith understanding is important to you, tune in to our sister podcast, In Good Faith, committed to the idea that we all benefit from hearing people of widely varying backgrounds share their personal experience with faith and belief. In fact, we think people with such experience deserve some of our best listening. Find In Good Faith wherever you get your podcasts.